And this is amazing, super exciting for me. We will open Venezuela for foreign investment. I am talking about a $1.7 trillion opportunity, not only in oil and gas, which is huge, and you know that the opportunity is because we will open all upstream, middle stream, downstream to all companies, but also in mining, in gold, in infrastructure, power. We have our grid right now has a 17 gigawatt opportunity of energy potential that needs to be rehabbed. Certainly for technology and AI and tourism. You know, Venezuela has 2,800 kilometers of pristine Caribbean coastline ready to be developed. So this is going to be huge. We will bring rule of law. We will open markets. We will have security for foreign investment and a transparent, massive privatization program that is waiting for you.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, November the 7th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And we are now getting reports from the Collective West mainstream media that Pokrovsk is about to be captured by the Russian military. It's not going to hold, as Zelensky was saying a couple of days ago, where he was claiming that Pokrovsk was holding back the Ukraine military, and Pokrovsk was holding back the Russian military, which consisted of just 300 soldiers, and it would only take a couple of weeks for Pokrovsk to be secured. That is what Zelensky was saying a couple of days ago. U.S. President Trump based much of his policy towards Russia over the past month or two on reports that he had been getting from the Zelensky regime, telling him not to believe the reports coming from Russia that Pokrovsk would be eventually captured, and instead to believe in his statements, in his intel and reports, which claimed that Pokrovsk was going to hold off the Russian advance. So Trump, he walked back everything that he discussed with Putin in Alaska. He imposed sanctions, big oil sanctions on Russia. He reverted back to the whole ceasefire, freezing the front line. All of this was based on the reports that he was getting from Zelensky, who was telling him that everything in Pokrovsk was going to be okay. Well, everything in Pokrovsk, at least for the Ukraine military and for NATO and for U.S. President Trump, is not okay. And even the media in the United States and in Europe is reporting as much. In one day, you had stories from the Wall Street Journal, from the Washington Post, from the New York Times, from Le Monde. All of them are reporting that Russia is going to capture Pokrovsk in the next couple of days. From the Wall Street Journal, Russian forces in Ukraine near first major conquest in more than 2 years. Russian troops have advanced inside the city of Pokrovsk, but the progress has been costly, Ukraine says it is resisting. The Washington Post says as Pokrovsk is set to fall, Ukraine must choose to fight or save troops. Pokrovsk has been a bastion of resistance, and Russia taking it would be a propaganda win. But experts say it is time to withdraw and save lives for future battles. And Le Monde also has an article which says that the fall of Pokrovsk is a matter of days, at most 2 weeks. So they're starting to talk about how this is just going to be a propaganda win for Russia. Yeah, they're going to capture Pokrovsk, but it's going to be a propaganda win, nothing else. It doesn't hold any strategic value. Russia has lost X amount of soldiers trying to capture Pokrovsk. It's taken 1 year or 2 years or 10 years to capture Pokrovsk. And the price has been very high for Russia and for Putin. So they're running with the same script that they ran with when it came to Avdiivka, Bakhmut, just about every area, Mariupol, whatever. Name the city or the town, village that Russia has captured, and you get the same script from the collective West media. Not strategically important. It's taken Russia X amount of time to capture this area. The cost has been very high. It's a propaganda win, and blah, blah, blah. Pokrovsk is going to fall in the next couple of days. That's going to happen. And Kupiansk is also about to be fully captured by the Russian military. Mirnograd, which is close to Pokrovsk, is also going to be captured by the Russian military. And it's not only these areas on the front lines where Russia is advancing and making gains and capturing territory. We also have Russia making advancements and capturing territory in other parts of the front line, including in Zaporozhye and Kherson as well. So no coincidence that at this time that Pokrovsk is going to be announced by the Russian Ministry of Defense as being fully captured by Russia. They're going to say liberated. That's what the Russian Ministry of Defense is going to announce. Pokrovsk and Kupiansk and Mirnograd have been liberated. That's going to be their statement. No coincidence that you have the President of the United States talking about a deal with Russia, right? Yeah, that is what Trump is saying. He hosted the leaders of various countries in Central Asia, Eurasian states, and he hosted them at the White House. And Trump said that he solved eight wars. Has he solved eight wars? Wow. Yeah, he said he solved eight wars. That's the first time I've heard him say that, actually. That's big news. That is big news. So Trump revealed that he has solved eight wars. It's pretty incredible, man. He should be getting a Nobel Peace Prize for that. But and then he went on to say that he might also solve the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We're looking to add one more, he said. That's possible. Adding that he was talking about the Ukraine conflict. We haven't gotten there yet, but I think we've made a lot of progress. We'd just like to see an end to the war. We'd love to see an end to that war, Trump added, referring to the conflict in Ukraine. Steve Witkoff also said the same thing the other day when he was at the Miami Business Summit. And he also said that there is good progress being made between Russia and Ukraine, Russia and the United States, with regards to solving the conflict in Ukraine, Ukraine and the United States. Steve Witkoff said that progress is being made. There's a lot of discussion that technical teams have to have at the lower level before the leaders can get to a deal. But I sense that there's some progress today. That is what Witkoff said. So right at the time when you have a big defeat for Ukraine, for NATO, and for President Trump in this area, well, in two areas, Pokrovsk, Mirnograd, and Kupiansk, Trump is now reverting back to looking for a deal with Putin. But the problem is that if Trump were to tell Russia, let's revisit what we talked about in Alaska, I would imagine that Putin and Russia are going to say not interested. That deal, that's long gone. That sailed away a long, long time ago. What we agreed on in Alaska, and who knows if Russia's going to offer another deal or even want to talk about another deal with U.S. President Trump, because they did have some sort of an agreement in Alaska, and then Trump walked everything back. So on a side note, as Trump was hosting the leaders of the Central Asian states of the Eurasian countries, who are very much aligned with Russia and with China, right? Trump was hosting these leaders, and the president of Uzbekistan said that that in Uzbekistan, we call you the president of the world, right? And then Trump announced that Uzbekistan is going to be, it's going to be investing some 35 billion or something like that in the United States. Who knows if any of this stuff is really going to happen. But all the leaders around the world, I think they understand how to get on Trump's good side. Just shower him with compliments and you get on his good list. But Trump also announced that he had a call with the leader of Kazakhstan, Tokayev, and Netanyahu. And he actually posted about this on Truth Social. And it looks like Kazakhstan will be joining the Abraham Accords. What does this mean? Honestly, nothing really, to be quite honest. Kazakhstan, since 1992, has had diplomatic relations with Israel. So this is pretty much symbolic. You can make the argument that for Kazakhstan, it opens up friendlier relations with the United States. Maybe it opens up certain investment possibilities with the United States, with Israel. For the United States, you could argue that Trump is using the Abraham Accords as a way to make inroads into Eurasia, perhaps. That could be an argument that you can make. But for the most part, at least to me, this seems pretty symbolic, if anything. It adds some more momentum, or it adds some momentum to the Abraham Accords, which have lost a lot of momentum. So maybe by announcing that Kazakhstan is joining the Abraham Accords, maybe it kind of revives the Abraham Accords, or adds some momentum to something that not many people were talking about anymore. Anyway, Trump announced that on Truth Social. And in Romania, the CEO of, oh, look at all those cats. The CEO of NATO, a man who is known as Pinocchio because he is always telling the truth, Mark Rutte, he spoke in Romania, and CEO Rutte, he claims that NATO is about to outproduce Russia when it comes to ammunition. That's right, and a lot of outlets are saying that NATO now outproduces Russia. That's the headline that they are running with. NATO outproduces Russia in ammunition. Well, I went to his speech, to the readout of his speech in Romania, and you know, Rutte doesn't say that NATO is currently outproducing Russia in ammunition. He doesn't say it. What he says in his speech is that if you give more money to NATO, if you keep on supporting NATO, then NATO will eventually start outproducing Russia. He was basically making a sales pitch, if you want my honest opinion. Let me read you exactly what Rutte said, because a lot of outlets are running with the narrative that NATO now outproduces Russia in ammo, and that is not what I got from Rutte's statement. Here is what he said in his speech in Romania. First, on quantity, we already have state-of-the-art systems, the best of the best. These give us an edge, and we will keep it sharp, which we need more and we need fast. And that means increasing production and shortening delivery times. We are already turning the tide on ammunition. Until recently, Russia was producing more ammunition than all NATO allies put together. But not anymore. Across the alliance, we are opening dozens of new production lines and expanding existing ones. We are making more than we have done in decades. We need to build on this progress in other areas, from high-end air defense and low-cost drone interceptors. Here, quantity is key, and this brings me to the second driver, creativity. This is about the power of innovation, blah, blah, blah. And he's making a sales pitch for more investment and more money into NATO. And he's basically saying, you know what? If we continue to support NATO, then eventually we are going to turn the tide. That is what he is saying. He is not in this statement claiming that NATO is currently outproducing Russia in ammunition. He doesn't get into any details, into any numbers, any figures, or anything like that. He says, we're opening production, we're going to be expanding some production, but that's all he's saying. I don't buy any of it. I don't buy any of it. Even though Rutte is a very honest guy, and he can be trusted. He's always saying the truth. Mark Rutte, absolutely, you can believe him. He has a long history of being very, very honest and truthful. Mark Rutte, in this instance, I just don't buy what he's saying, that you know, NATO has the possibility of turning the tide on ammunition production. Actually, the numbers that are out there actually show otherwise. They show that ammunition production in Europe is faltering. It's actually decreasing, not increasing. But anyway, that's a different video for another time. The Trump Treasury Department, they continue to put the squeeze on Europe. Not even on Russia. They continue to put the squeeze on Europe, especially when it comes to Russian oil, right? So Trump, he said that India has stopped purchasing Russian oil. They're not buying any more Russian oil, or they've decreased their purchase of Russian oil big time. That is what Trump said. And Europe, well, Europe is trying to figure out how they're going to deal with the sanctions on Lukoil and Rosneft, especially Lukoil, because Lukoil has quite a large and extensive presence in Europe, in many countries in Europe. I've talked about Germany, I've talked about Bulgaria, and Bulgaria could be experiencing fuel shortages because of these sanctions. Orban, by the way, is in the United States as I'm recording this video. He is going to be meeting with Trump, or he's trying to meet with Trump, so he can try to get some sort of an exemption from these oil sanctions. Anyway, a Swiss company actually made a bid to purchase Lukoil's assets. Now, this Swiss company, known as Gunvor, in 2014, well, when they started, it was a Swiss investor and also a Russian investor. And the Russian investor, he had good relations with Putin and the Kremlin. And this was way back before 2014, right? And then when 2014 happened, the Maidan coup and Crimea, he sold his 40% share or 43% share in Gunvor because of the sanctions and all that stuff. So this Swiss company, they had no more ties to Russia, right? It's a Swiss company. There's no connection to Russia whatsoever. Whatever Russian investment was in this company way back in 2014, this is my understanding of things, way back in 2014, the investor sold his shares and he left, right? Audi 5000, he's gone. Anyway, Gunvor decided to make a bid for Lukoil's assets, around 22 billion, 23 billion, to take over everything in Europe. So there's no crisis, a fuel crisis or fuel shortage or anything like that. And this is what the Treasury Department posted on X. upon learning of the bid to purchase Lukoil's assets. President Trump has been clear that the war must end immediately. As long as Putin continues the senseless killings, the Kremlin's puppet, Gunvor, will never get a license to operate and profit. What a crappy statement from the Treasury Department, huh? What a low class statement from the Treasury Department. This is the Treasury Department of the United States of America, and is calling this Swiss company a Putin puppet, or a Kremlin puppet. Sorry, a Kremlin puppet. You know what these guys want? These guys want some American firm to pick up all of these assets on the cheap. That's what these guys want. Plain and simple, man. It's all a grift, dude. It's all a grift. Anyway, speaking about the grift, the British military, they're delivering a bunch of Ajax armored vehicles. 8 years late, they were supposed to deliver these vehicles, 50 vehicles, from what I understand, 8 years ago to NATO's eastern flank. Anyway, they finally finished these vehicles, and they're going to be delivering them to NATO. And The Guardian was reporting on this story. And way down in this article from The Guardian, they mention in the final paragraphs, like the final 2-3 paragraphs, they mention how the British Army once again is ready to enter the war in Ukraine. If there's some sort of a ceasefire and the coalition of the willing is called on to keep the peace in Ukraine, then the British Army is absolutely ready to enter Ukraine, and they will use all of their military might to keep the peace. This is way, way down in the Guardian article, which is talking about these Ajax weapons deliveries, and way down it talks about the British Army being ready to fight for Zelensky, to keep the peace for the Green Goblin. The British Army would enter a war or engage in peacekeeping in post-war Ukraine or elsewhere with allies and use a full range of military capabilities, from fighter jets to infantry, military sources added. So there you go. There you go. The UK military is ready. They are ready to enter Ukraine, if there is a coalition of the willing request and ceasefire agreement from U.S. President Trump. So they're gonna wait and wait and wait, because there is going to be no coalition of the willing. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So let's talk about Venezuela, because we got an interesting story from the Wall Street Journal today, which claims that Trump has reservations over strikes in Venezuela. This is according to two Trump aides. Administration is still deciding whether to push Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro out of power or extract concessions from him. You know, the interesting part about this Wall Street Journal article and what these two aides are saying is that Nicolas Maduro, according to the New York Times, has already made full concessions to the United States. Remember that article where the New York Times claims that Maduro agreed to give the United States everything, priority on oil, energy, investment, everything, as long as there's no military operation against Venezuela. And it was turned down, according to the New York Times, at the request of none other than Secretary of State and the National Security Chief. He holds both positions. He has a lot of power, Marco Rubio. So Venezuela has already made concessions. They've made all the concessions, and the United States turned it down, and they built up this huge military in striking distance of Venezuela. So then the article talks about how the Trump administration, how Trump, U.S. President Trump, has reservations about whether an operation will actually accomplish its goals and what exactly that operation will be. And, you know, this article could be telling the truth. It could be telling the truth that Trump has reservations. It does not seem as if the Trump White House really has a clear goal as to what they want to accomplish, which is really weird right? They send all of this military equipment and hardware and vehicles, soldiers, ships, possible aircraft carrier strike group. By the way, that aircraft carrier strike group has stopped around Morocco. There's no movement of the Ford strike group. It's just kind of stopped, which is interesting. It was on its way towards Venezuela, but its movement has now stopped. That could be signaling something. But you have this big military buildup, right? And you don't really have a clearly defined goal. You don't have a clearly defined operation. At least, you know, the Trump White House isn't signaling that there's a clearly defined goal or operation. It seems like it's kind of chaotic. But maybe the Wall Street Journal is telling the truth. You know, the Ford is not moving towards Venezuela anymore. Maybe it'll start up again, but for the time being, it's stopped. And maybe the Trump White House is having second thoughts. Maybe Trump is having second thoughts. Rubio is not having second thoughts, but maybe Trump is having second thoughts. Maybe Trump is worried after the elections. After the elections that took place, not only in New York, but in Virginia and in New Jersey, the clean sweep from the Democrats. Maybe Trump is worried that one of the things that caused the Republicans to lose so badly was the constant focus on foreign policy and all of these conflicts that Trump is involved in or about to get involved in. So maybe that's what's giving him doubts. That's also possible. Or maybe, and this is very possible, we are seeing more Trump trickery, foreign policy trickery, which he used with Iran, which he used with Qatar and the Hamas negotiators. Maybe we are seeing Trump trickery, putting a story to the Wall Street Journal, leaking a story to the Wall Street Journal, saying that the United States is having second thoughts, so maybe they're not going to strike Venezuela. And then any day now, the operation happens against Venezuela. So that's also very possible. So, let's see what's next here. How about we do an update on Syria? Al-Jalani, or Al-Shara, he is on his way to, he's going to be on his way to D.C. I believe he's going to be meeting with U.S. President Trump. The Security Council, they voted to remove sanctions on Al-Shara Al-Jalani. No more sanctions at the U.N. level. And the only country to abstain from this vote was China. The other 14 council members voted yes to lift sanctions on Al-Jalani, Bizarro, Alensky. Yeah, and the United States, by the way, is thinking of a military base in Damascus. Remember Trump's first term to get out of Syria? Yeah, well, forget about that. Forget about pulling out of Syria. Now we are looking at a U.S. military base in Damascus. So that's an update there. Let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up this video. Did you guys catch the event in the Oval Office from some big pharma executives? And one of the guys passed out. And he passed out, from what I understand. Carolyn Levitt said he's okay, and he was just dehydrated or something like that, one of these big pharma execs. But there's a photo that's circulating, which is very misleading, actually. but it's going to do Trump some damage. And I'll put the photo on the screen right now. It shows these executives and White House staff, including Dr. Oz, who was there as well, and they're attending to this exec who had passed out. And it shows Trump just standing behind the desk in the Oval Office. He seems to not be caring, but this photo is very, very misleading. When you look at the video, the guy passes out. Trump is very concerned. I mean, he looks concerned and he goes to help him. And then he sees that everyone is around him, including Dr. Oz. I mean, a doctor is there. So there didn't seem to be any reason for him to crowd over the doctor and the people attending to this guy. Kennedy, it shows him running off, but he was actually going to get a chair, from my understanding of things, so that, you know, they could sit this guy down. So the photo, everything that people are reporting about this event is very misleading, but that photo is not how things went down. But it does make Trump look bad, but that wasn't the situation. He was concerned about this guy, and you can tell from the video that he was concerned about this guy. Let's walk back this way, actually. So I just wanted to say that, because it's an amazing photo. The fact that someone actually took this photo and took it at that very moment. Pictures can lie, man. Pictures can lie. They can tell a very different story. So today's Clown World is also doubling as a drone segment, an EU drone segment. That's right. And, oh boy, let's see here. Let's see. How do I explain this? This is coming from Bild. So there's going to be some sort of a meeting in Brussels to discuss the Russian drone situation, right? This made up, fictitious. Well, it appears to be fictitious. I don't know. Maybe it's real. Maybe Putin is sending a whole bunch of drones into the European Union, but there's going to be a meeting to discuss the drone situation. And one of the people who's going to attend this meeting, the Prime Minister of Saxony-Anhalt, was unable to fly to Belgium to attend a meeting where they're going to discuss the drone situation because of a drone situation in Belgium. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Let's see here. From Slati71, drones in the NATO capital disrupted the trip of the Prime Minister of Saxony-Anhalt, who was flying to discuss drone countermeasures, according to Bild. Drone chaos halts anti-drone mission. Drone chaos halts anti-drone mission. Okay. Anyway, that's interesting. And Kaya Kallas, she decided to weigh in on all of this drone stuff. Stunning and brave. Kaya Kallas, the top diplomat of the European Union, posted on X, "Starting a war and expecting to move freely in Europe is hard to justify. The EU is tightening visa rules for Russian nationals amid continued drone disruptions and sabotage on European soil. Traveling to the EU is a privilege, not a given." Ah, you see? One of the reasons that they're going to implement visa restrictions, the EU, is because of the drones. Yes, Project Ukraine and the conflict in Ukraine, but it's the drones, man. It's the drones in Europe. That's becoming the big problem. Those pesky drones and the balloons. Let's not forget about the balloons. The balloons are a problem, even though they have cigarettes inside of them. I wonder if the balloons have anything else inside of them. Like, I don't know, maybe the balloons have like food or candy, money, cash. I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. Check us out on Substack. And you will find a link to Substack down below. And you can also find me on X and on Rumble and Telegram. Oh, like this video, share this video, and subscribe to this channel. You'll be helping out this channel a whole lot. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.